Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, Pipe and I just got back from traveling, being speakers. We're both glum. The day after travel is, it's tough, and we're going to get into that. But before we do, we're going to talk about two companies that don't make us glum. Visual Theology and Dwell Bible. They are companies with whom we have a relationship that is full and loving and tender and satisfying in nearly every way. Did you guys get a package of free gear from Visual Theology over the holidays?
I did, yeah. So it was through our website that Josh Byers of Visual Theology runs on our behalf.
That's right.
Thehappyrant.com.
Yeah, what did you guys get? Because I think we all got different things, but I want to hear what they sent you guys.
So I got the classic Happy Ranch shirt, just the logo on the front, which suits me. I'm not a big slogan shirt wearing guy. Other people love that. Not my thing. Super comfortable shirt. I forgot how comfortable Visual Theology's the shirts that they use are great. And then I got the notebook, just the standard one with the checklist on the front about writing bestsellers and manuscripting sermons and all that. And nice. Then the New Yorker style canvas bag, which is high quality and amuses me greatly. It's in the back of my car right now, ready to be taken on my next trip to Aldi.
Dude, it's really elite. It's a really nice bag. Like, all kidding aside, we got that one too. And it looks great. Very handsome. It'll be a solid flex in front of all the English majors in your life with New Yorker tote bags. Ronald, what did you get from our friends at Visual Theology / thehappyrantpodcast.com?
It's just thehappyrantpodcast.com. No podcast in there.
The Happy Rant. It's only my own website. Yeah.
It's all right.
Well, what did I get? So I think I got the tote. I think I got a fanny pack and I think I got Baby You're So Money tea and nice. A C-list celeb.
Oh, yeah, that's magnificent. So I think
it was. It was a nice little Christmas surprise. It was unexpected, and the quality of everything was is at a high level. And I think I think this is us basically just telling our fans that they can trust our new merchandise store and order away. You know, it's all available and it's all
absolutely.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's all amazing stuff. Speaking of amazing stuff, Piper, tell us about Dwell Bible.
I would love to tell you about Dwell Bible, probably our longest standing podcast partner. We've had a couple great relationships with various sponsors, but I think they've been with us the longest. Listeners, Dwell is an audio Bible app. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can check them out. If you are looking for a way to get into the Bible more and get the Bible kind of into your life and without carving out time to read because that's impossible or because you don't have the discipline or because you've tried a lot 1,000 times and failed, Dwell is great. It's you can listen to it in the car while you're working out, while you're doing chores, whatever it is. You just kind of the times in life, the margins of life that you wouldn't normally be able to read. Multiple Bible versions, multiple readers. They have musical backgrounds. They have listening plans, so you can listen through the Bible in a year or portions of the Bible. They have encouragement playlists. They're constantly upgrading and adding features, and they will shortly be dropping a children's Bible read by children so that you could even include your family in this. It works great as a gift as well. And again, that website is dwellapp.io/happyrant. They have a 30% discount on the lifetime subscription for our listeners and a 10% discount on the annual subscription. It's totally worth it. Go check them out today.
Dude, they're going to have a Bible read by children?
Yes.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, and in the same way that they do for the so it's a kid's Bible. And so I think I don't think it's the full text as much as it is sort of it's like Bible stories. But they have kids from around the world the same way they do for like the adult narrator. So boys and girls, different parts of the world. So you get the different accents and cultural flares. It's a really cool idea. When they told me they were doing that, I thought, I mean, I don't have kids that age, but I think I might like listening to it.
Dude, when you said they were gonna have a kid, they were gonna have kids narrate the Bible. I was imagining some kid like having to handle like the David and Bathsheba narrative and
the Judah and Tamar story.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, wow, that's gonna be really interesting.
Damn, also, why did they cut her into 12 pieces? I don't understand.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll just raise some fascinating questions around the hearth with your families.
Do you spend a lot of time around the hearth? I feel like Ronnie and Melissa do, but are you a big hearth family?
I mean, you could just check their social media and you'll know whether they do or not. I don't even know what a hearth is. I feel like I have one, though. I'm going to describe. I've got a huge fireplace, and there's there's a little like brick part that goes out like around the front of it that you could kind of sit on. And in my mind's eye, that's the hearth. But I really don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
That's it. That's the hearth. Yeah. So
you're hearthing it up, man. You're a hearther.
I'm a hearther. Yeah.
You are. You're King Hearther.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, that's nice. That's nice.
Boom. I'll be letting myself out.
So I'm hearthing it up. Dwell Bible is going to have kids reading the Bible, which will be interesting for them. Like, I feel like I don't like kids that much. And like the idea of trying to get kids to do anything seems like a huge chore. So whoever's heading that up on the Dwell end is they're a better person than I am, which isn't saying much.
Have you seen the movie School of Rock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know the little girl who's the factotum of the class, like the little bootlicker brown noser? I just kind of picture all the kids reading this as that kid.
Oh, like, sure.
That's the one kid they could get to like sit down and read Job.
Yeah,
like the know-it-all kid, you mean? The real smart,
and also
snarky,
the one who kind of talks perfectly precisely all the time. Yes. And is it, that kid.
Like, hey, I'm 9 years old, but I'm just finishing up 12th grade, and
exactly.
I can slide the recording in between my violin and cello lessons. So, you know, if that works for you.
My mother,
I love disarming those kinds of kids, man. I love like getting, I just love like trying to talk over those kids when you meet them and just basically like using word, like eventually finding those words that they actually don't know what they mean and then just going, hey, you know, that's what gets you for your arrogance, you know?
They have no interest in listening to you or anyone else. That's the thing.
That is
like it's a straight up monologue. So I want to run, I realize we're going off script already, but I have a couple of things that I want to ask
script?
You guys about.
What are a script?
I don't even know what that word means.
Dude, so these are a couple like cultural anthropology things that I observed, just like kind of speaking to high school students and being around high school students. One is that, so we grew up in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s by and large, and we grew up watching shows that were like these 22-minute narratives where a story would get resolved largely because of people dialoguing with each other, right? So you would get these reps in, like listening to people have conversations. And I realized like recently interacting with a lot of high school students, they're just kind of monologuers. Mm-hmm. Like they're talking at you. They don't really come up for air. They're not terribly interested in like hearing what you have to say in response. And I was chopping this up with KK, and I wondered if it's because they've grown up by and large like watching YouTube, where like people are monologuing, like people are monologuing at them into a camera, as opposed to these kind of dialogue driven narratives that we grew up with. Do you guys think that theory has legs?
I never thought about it. That's really interesting, T.
I totally think it does, and I think I also think the shows that they watch that do have character interaction, it's so far outside the realm of, you know, like living room dialogue, like old sitcoms or old dramas or whatever, that they're not really learning how to do that. They might be learning how to do like cheesy joke setups or like pickup lines or something, but not, you know, actual conversation. I think that makes a lot of sense. The alternative is that they just don't talk at all, though. Like trying to get a high schooler to talk with you is like bouncing a ball off a brick wall, and like, yeah, there's no one on the other end to receive this thing.
Yeah, no, I know. I've observed that too. And to caveat this, like there are some great ones, and obviously I've had great conversations with high school kids. But yeah, I get either the brick wall thing or the like they're waiting for you to pause so that they can monologue. And I wondered if that's a function of the kind of media that they're consuming. Here's the other cultural anthropology thing real quick. Due to like the ubiquity of just phones, right? So the phone is like a constant companion on the bus, standing around in a hallway, in a line, in the city, in the country, at your house. Like, I feel like it's changing the literal like posture of America. So I feel like that the pelvis is sort of leading by a couple of inches now. And there's like a concavity where the chest used to be, because the shoulders are sort of rounded forward. The chin's tucked.
Hold the phone up so you can look like straight down at it.
Dude, right. So yeah, it's this posture of you're looking down at a phone even when you're not looking down at a phone. You know what I mean? So like the phone doesn't even have to be there anymore. There's like a concavity where the chest used to be, and everybody's shoulders are kind of hunched and rounded. Am I crazy, or is this something that you guys have also observed?
I think that's true. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how much of it is like, is this like the next evolution of man? Like future generations kids are going to be born with their hands sort of in a claw position in front of their sternum.
Yes. Yeah. So on that poster, on the, like that evolutionary poster that if you went to public school, you got to like gaze at that for hours upon.
If you went to Christian school, you got to like burn that.
Yes, that's right.
So Bible class.
You and I looked at it. Ronald may have burned it. But yeah, I wonder if on that poster there's going to be like a guy with like the rolled forward shoulders and the tucked chin and like just kind of the Michael Cera posture, you know, except with his hands clawed up, like ready to clutch a phone.
Yeah, he's going to look vaguely like Elon Musk. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I have another thing to run by you guys. And I realize I'm just doing random, like we're catching up on the phone things right now. I have a question for you, driven largely by the fact that I'm old and my memory's bad. Did we talk about Only Murders in the Building last time we recorded?
No, we did. Yeah, we closed it.
Did
and
we?
We were all pleasantly surprised by Selena Gomez's acting ability.
Oh, we did.
Dude, that's right. That we totally covered it.
That was when we were catching up on the phone at the end of the last episode. So we talked through whatever topics we intended to and then started just chopping it up on various things.
Dude, you can tell it's been a short night of sleep and a long trip. So, Pipe, you and I just got back from travel. I just got back from the North. Piper, you grew up in the North. Ronald, you live sort of in the North. Is Ashland considered the North? And do Ashland people consider themselves Northerners?
I don't know, man, because Ohio's in a weird spot. I always feel like it's more Northeast. You know what I mean? I feel like we're close to Canada and we're closer to the East than we are the Midwest. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know, when you really break it down.
So I went to grad school in your town, and I still couldn't tell you where it is. Like, I have no idea where Ashland is. It's impossible to get to from anywhere. Like, I just remember, like, winding roads, and I would show up there eventually. But, like, I'm with you in feeling like Ohio is a bit more Pennsylvania than it is, like, Indiana or Illinois. It feels less Midwestern, more like kind of
Pennsylvania. Well, and then the lower half of it is, you know, practically Kentucky.
Northern Kentucky.
It's an interesting.
And it's inhabited by a lot of Kentuckians, too, that whole migration. So, that whole thing. I don't know. I don't know.
There's been a migration out of Kentucky? I didn't know.
Well, there was, So, like, there's a lot of these like smaller towns, like what Pipe was saying, when you get a little more south, I guess, you know, a lot of people migrated from Kentucky. That's why you get, so this is what's weird, man. Like, I'll meet dudes in Ohio that have no accent. And then you'll meet a dude that lives next door to him that grew up there. Like, they both grew up in the same street. Yeah. And this dude has this weird southern accent, and I've never been able to figure that out. And somebody just said, oh, yeah, it was that Kentucky migration. And I'm like, oh, that's a thing? I'm like, all right.
And, I feel like if you're going to migrate out of Kentucky, maybe you go a little further than like southern Ohio. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that I would be satisfied.
Well, maybe they were walking, Big T. Maybe they were on foot. I don't know.
It was like the Rust Belt migration. It was like people from Kentucky went to where there were these industrial jobs, and they just sort of stopped there. And then all the industrial jobs went away, and now Ohio has residual Kentuckians.
I know, and I feel like I only know that because I read like 3/4 of Hillbilly Elegy. So like, I don't like. Well, I have no. That's it. There's my
that
history.
Book, dude.
Yeah.
Remember when that was all the rage?
Yeah.
Man, what a time.
Seems like forever ago.
Oh, I know. That's exciting. So I was in the North for 2 weeks. It was frigidly cold. I was telling you guys via text, I totally lost my northern muscles. My ability to be like hale and hearty and kind of smug about not being cold, that's gone. My ability to walk around on the snow and ice, I feel like the 2 weeks was just like an exercise in not falling down and trying not to fall down. Also an exercise in having plans cancel. Do you guys remember this? Pipe, do you remember this about your northern experience? How like from November through March, you would make a plan and then like 60% chance it would just get like snowed out or canceled?
No, because Minnesota won't cancel anything for,
that's
for
true.
Anything. You know,
yeah.
It's, I was talking to a friend on the phone who still lives up there, and he said, you know, school was out, was canceled because it was negative 12 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. I was like, they're getting soft.
Yeah.
They didn't used to cancel school unless it was like negative 30. And he said, well, it's because they don't have any bus drivers. So the kids have to stand out there for, you know, an hour instead of 15 minutes. But uh-huh. I don't remember the plans getting canceled thing.
Dang.
I've experienced that more in the South where,
if somebody, you get like a dusting of snow and people are,
yeah, you, or if somebody, if a, you know, meteorologist says there's a hint of a chance of possibly snowing sometime in the future, they're yeah. like, you know, let's just cancel school this week. All the mm-hmm. kids are staying home. Parents are going to be yeah. miserable. Also, it's going to be 70 and sunny.
I love it.
That's sweet, man. See, I never experienced that growing up in SoCal. There, nothing's canceled ever for anything.
Dave, you never got so. I want to do a
yeah, there's on. Nothing. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, there's so, like no, like, there's the weather never changes, so it doesn't, yeah. it never prevents anybody from doing anything, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Weather's never a factor.
So would you get like an earthquake day when there was like a rumbling or sort
dude,
of
no
no
dude no I mean
mudslide
I
days?
Mean that's you're it,
brush fire
that
days,
stuff
anything?
That stuff's rumbling all the time. I mean
that's
like
true.
You're getting like little mini earthquakes and like nobody even like blinks when it happens, which is like yeah. really funny. You
that
know,
it's funny.
Now, it'll be like you'll get one of those earthquakes where every like, and then you'll get one of the heavier ones, right? Where like the shelves
yeah.
are like kind of moving. And yeah. so everybody kind of freezes and their eyes get big and you look at each other. Dude, it's like one of those funny movies where like it does it for like literally 8 seconds, it finishes, and then it's like everybody just returns back to what they're
doing. Dude, I wanna lean into that a minute. That's gotta be like a really amazing 8 seconds though. Because in that 8 seconds, like logically you think, oh, this is just a rumbling, it's no big deal. But for like 4 of the 8 seconds, you must like look at your brother and think, I wonder if the earth is going to swallow us up. You
okay,
know what I mean?
100, man. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. no, it's like terrifying because like all you're doing is thinking about, you know, the earthquake in San Francisco of 08, you know, or whatever yeah. that thing.
Yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah.
Right? So you're just like thinking that could be this. Because, sure. you know, all you know about are those historical earthquakes where like the entire city was decimated. And yeah. so obviously that can happen.
Yeah.
So it really, and you're totally helpless. I mean, they give you the drill, stand, you know, get in the bathtub, stand under like the door frame, and you're like thinking, yeah, because that's going to help. I saw,
yeah, that's
like,
really
I've seen
help.
The pictures of San Francisco, what happened to all those houses, and right. it's not like the bathtubs and the door frames are just right. sitting there intact.
It's not like a yeah. forest of door frames with people.
Right, exactly. Them. Right. Hey, look at all the door frames in the bathtubs, you guys. They look amazing. So, for that 8 seconds, you're like, well, we've had a nice run. It's been great.
Yeah. It's amazing what, like, how easily placated we are. Like, the tornado drill or, like, the nuclear warhead drill in public yeah. school. They're like, oh, just curl up under your desk. And we're all like, cool.
Because I feel really... Yeah. Because I feel really good because what I'm doing is when I feel like I'm in an imminent danger, is I'm looking at my desk and thinking, there's my salvation.
That's going to protect you know? Me. Yeah, I'm in good shape. I got the desk. You know, I'm
guys, relax. We got the desks.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's got to be a purely psychological, like doing something takes your mind off of the possibility of dying. And so it's just busy work.
Yeah.
You know, I remember
it's just
you know,
a calming. It's just to calm everybody. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't. I was in elementary school after the kind of the worst of like the atomic scare, Cold War stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I talked to people who are just a little bit older than me. They're like, oh, yeah, we used to have like nuclear drills where it was get under your desk and put your head between your knees.
There you go.
And yeah. everybody knew it was dumb. But also, if you're afraid of dying, doing something is better than nothing just for your own psyche, I guess.
Yeah. That's a good word.
It's all probably like prop. Those drills are probably all like propaganda. Like, so it's not going to help. It's not going to do anything. But it's the only way to calm everybody down.
Yeah.
So, convince them that it works. I don't know.
It's a great idea. It's worked really well in the past. So, speaking of propaganda and calming us down, Piper and I, Ron, we're freshly returned from the road from some speaking engagements.
Judas.
And, I know, dude. Kind of big.
You're living the rich life, man.
Living that rich life. Kind of a flex, right? But there's a downside, baby, to all that travel. And that is you get a little glum the day after. And to be fair.
Post-travel glum. PTG, man.
I don't actually even know that Piper is glum. I'm projecting my own glumness onto him. And it makes me feel better to think that he is also glum. But yeah, we're back. We got in late last night. You know, we were kind of riding this wave of, for me, like great experiences at camp with friends and good speaking. And I spoke at a Christian high school in Fort Wayne for 2 days. So shout out Fort Wayne. Shout out Luke Johnson. Luke Johnson is a mega fan of the show who brought me in to speak. And he loved hearing stories about the program.
Good old Mud Hens High, baby, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right, dude. That's right. And breaking news out of Fort Wayne, baby. I shared this with you via text. The High Place is no longer.
Oh, baby. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
I know. It's tough, dude. But we got to lean into like our hard feelings in order to
deal. Is it something else now, or did it get
different? Dude, it's something else. And this is a sad phenomenon. It's something else. And we viewed it from the highway. And like the signage was so poor, we couldn't even tell what it was. You know what I mean?
Are you sure it's the same place, man?
I swear to gosh, dude. Because it's right by Zesto's. And I know where Zesto's is.
Oh, all right. Well, no, of course we know where Zesto's is.
And I know where that movie theater is where we saw Limitless. And it's right in between.
Is that the Bradley Cooper movie?
Yeah, it's phenomenal you remember that, T. I wouldn't have been able to tell you that in 900 years.
Dude, I liked Limitless. Did you enjoy it?
I liked it a lot, but I wouldn't have remembered that was the one we saw.
Yeah, dude, we've seen a lot of movies together over the years. I think we saw like, I don't know, we saw some forgettable ones, but Limitless, I really
Limitless was great, man. It was one of those sleeper hits, you know?
It was a sleeper hit. We expected very little going in.
Yeah.
And we were pleasantly surprised.
Now, so here's my question, man. So it's not like Hyatt Place is like doing bad. What would have replaced that? Like, why
didn't
it make it?
That's a great question. It looked like to me, and again, this is viewed from like the highway just driving by, some skeevy, like kind of off-brand chain purchased the building, put up a new sign. It's no longer the Hyatt Place. And it just, to me, felt like the end of an era, you know?
The Reformatory Inn. That's what it's called.
So I just looked up Hyatt Place Fort Wayne. Because we're nothing if not detail-oriented and willing to do research for this show.
Yeah.
And the first thing that pops up on Google is Sonesta Select Fort Wayne.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't... That sounds...
And it's right by a Regal Theater.
Yep, that's
right
the place,
right off the freeway. It's near a Hobby Lobby.
Okay, yeah, you can go get your Tim Tebow books there.
Right one. You know? I'm just trying to figure out if this is the same thing. Also, I've never heard of a Sonesta Select. That's
baby. They're going to have our book there. Don't sweat it. Our book's coming.
Our book's going to be there. That checks out, Pipe. That really checks out because it seemed like something off-brand like that. And I just wonder, baby, what they did with all those like celebrity glossies in the lobby that we signed and all the memorabilia.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been there for that sale.
It'd be nice to be consulted. Is all?
Yeah, it would have been really nice. Yeah.
How hard is it to pick up the phone?
I don't know. You know? It's not hard at all. Not in this day and age.
Yeah, that's definitely it, guys. Because it's right next door to the Zestos.
Yeah, Sonesta. It's a new Select. Day in Fort Wayne. Sonesta Select.
Well, I mean, is that just some new chain? Maybe it's legit, man. Is that like some new
sounds
chain?
Sounds like nasal
medication. Let's look it up. I'm gonna look up Sonesta Select and see.
Is Hyatt Place becoming Sonesta Select? Are they going through a name change? You hear where I'm going with that?
Hearing that, and that feels good. dude, book a hotel room among our global properties in Chile, Ecuador. Sonesta Select is global.
Dude, Sonesta, it's a global enterprise, man. I think maybe it's a step up from Hyatt P.
Dude, you know what? I'm looking at this Sonesta website, Sonesta.com, no free shout-outs, but if they would be willing to do business with us, I think we could have a nice business relationship with Sinesta.
I would love to have a little Sinesta Global. Sounds fantastic.
And what I'm seeing, Ronald, is that I'm viewing some pictures of some different Sinesta Select properties. They're all repurposed Hyatt Places.
There you go.
I'm looking at the rooms. They look just like Hyatt Place rooms. Even with little like console of electronics built into the wall, you know what I'm talking about, baby?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What hotels look different? I feel like you just described the Hilton Garden Inn and the Hampton Inn and the...
There's a difference there. So Hyatt...
Ronald, enlighten him.
Yeah, I am Pipe.
Pipe.
We just need you to sit and drink this in for a second.
Exactly.
Hyatt P was the first of these like repurposed mid-centuries. So you have a loft now because there was a Hyatt Place. Uh-huh. And so it's like these super you want to pick, like, if you went to Palm Springs and you stayed at literally any hotel there, basically Hyatt P took a page from that architecture, and they just built basically just like a line of hotels where no matter where you are in the country, they all feel like way more expensive than they actually cost.
Yeah, and it's because you're getting that little like one third of a wall in between the sleeping area and like the sitting area. So you got
instead of like an open room or a curtain.
Yeah, it's minimalist. It's minimalist, but it's done. It's like nicer. It's like a nicer product in terms of a room.
You get that little ottoman that turns into a table. That's nice. That's a nice time.
And then there's like there's a 24-hour bar and restaurant like in the lobby that's like actually just feels nice.
Yeah,
so it just feels way nicer than it probably is. But it's like anything else, man. They probably did a lot of things on the cheap, but they just put a nice coat of paint on it, and they did some nice architecture with it that just gives you the feeling like you're in a luxury hotel. But as a matter of fact, it costs you like $1.20 to sleep there that night.
Dude, we just like you just hotel splained that to Piper.
I did. Sorry, Pipe.
You can't explain anything to anyone anymore. But you just did. That was bold and brave of you.
He just pulled a modern teenager and monologued at me, and I'm just waiting for him to finish.
You know what? I just should have put that on YouTube, and you could have watched it.
I feel like you were gaslighting Piper.
Okay, so I
have no idea what that means, but I feel like you were doing.
I don't know what that means either. Every other, I've been accused of doing it. I don't know what it is.
Sure.
Every other chain, I think, does the same thing. Home 2 Suites for Hilton is exactly what you just described.
Yeah, Home 2, Aloft, Hyatt P.
Kind of like the modern feels upscale, but is actually the exact same price as the Hampton Inn. Yeah.
Yeah, somehow it's cheaper, and I don't – like, dude, we stay at Alofts all the time. It's the – okay, I'm doing a free promo here, but like it literally feels like the nicest hotel I've ever stayed at. Dude, you know what it is? It's like when you go to – I don't know how to say this.
I feel like you saying that is jeopardizing the deal that I had going with Sinesta.
No, we're going to get Sinesta, baby. That thing's locked in. But
it's going to be a bidding war. We're going to get free hotels forever.
So listen, boys, I'm trying to make a point here. So my daughter was out for Christmas, and she goes, you know, and she can be a little bit of a, you know, how shall I say it, a snobby eater sometimes.
Hard to believe.
I know.
That's really hard to believe given
who her parents. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Follow me here. So she goes, it was after church, and she goes, Pops, I'm kind of in the mood for Taco Bell. And I looked at her, and I looked around, making sure nobody heard her say that. And I said, I don't know if you're joking right now. She goes, no, I think it's delicious. Mm. And I went, I haven't been to Taco Bell. It's been years. And I'm good with Taco Bell, so it's fine.
Is she doing like a hipster ironic thing? Kind of like
that? Dude, I mean, she probably is.
Taco Bell thing.
So we pull through the TB, and we ordered literally like 19 tacos, 7 burritos, like literally like 15 of everything they have.
And the bill was like $9.
And the lady goes, you know, that'll be $7.84. And you're just going you're just looking at her and you're going like, that's impossible. Like, what are the tacos now? Like 8 cents each?
They're actually paying you to eat tacos. She goes, I'm running a special
for like $7.7.
To put a fine point on this, are you drawing out some kind of parallel between like Aloft and Taco Bell in as much as you're getting a lot for
it? Yeah, and as much as you're getting a lot for little, and then we went home, and I haven't eaten it TB in a while, and it was delicious, and I was like, dude, it was legitimately delicious, and the whole thing cost me like $4.
Here's what I'd like to see you do, and this is getting a bit like weird and philosophical, but I think you guys will appreciate what I'm trying to do with this. I would be curious to see, because you carry a lot of weight in the like dumpy pastors that want to be cool community. So I wonder if you
it's
could...
It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
No, I know it, baby, and I want you to feel encouraged by that. But you do have that kind of pull with these dumpy pastors who kind of want to be hipsters, and they're experimenting, right? They're dabbling.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I so get it. I wonder if you could go to one of these guys, and they're like doing what you guys do all the time, which is like meeting up for lunch and, you know, whatever. And I wonder if you could say, hey, you know, Mike Cosper or whoever, let's meet at a Taco Bell. We can eat in. let's do our super hipster pastor vision casting meeting at a Taco Bell. You know, we can talk about our feelings and talk about what's hard in ministry. Like, my question to you is, like, of the kind of palette of dumpy hipster pastors that you know, like, who could you see going for that? Like, would they buy it from you? You know what I mean?
Well, okay. They would buy it from me because pastors are like, don't ever want conflict. So they would just be like, yeah, that's great.
Okay. But,
except on Twitter. Yeah. They want conflict on Twitter. Always.
Sure. They do want conflict on Twitter.
But, long day. Yeah.
But then there is like a certain group that would look at me thinking I was joking. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So yeah. I would have to convince a certain amount of them. And then what would happen is we'd sit down at the Taco Bell and they'd be all quiet. We'd pay our $3 for like 41 tons of food.
Yeah.
And then, dude, they would literally, I would get this vibe from, I'd get this whole thing.
Yeah.
I would
dude,
I'm so, like, I was so surprised. They're going to talk about it like it was this long.
They're going to talk about it like hours they're long event. Deconstructing the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to say, I'm just, like, I'm so surprised because, dude, before we met, like, I would have never guessed that you would have said we should meet here. Yeah, they would have done the whole thing with me. They would have, like, tried to break this thing down like it's something we had planned for, like, 7 months.
Yeah, like, know? It was this intentional thing, like you were trying to teach them something, you know?
Yeah. It would be just like, dude, I'm blown away.
I'm blown away at what a regular guy you are.
Dude,
you know?
That's exactly it right there.
Because for the past 5 years, as we've been talking about struggles in ministry, we've been doing it over a $94 burger. And now
exactly.
Okay, well, let me throw a monkey wrench into this, because if you did the exact same thing at Chick-fil-A, everybody would be totally fine with it and say
dude,
nothing.
100%. You're 100%
right. And the food
right.
costs the same amount and is, you know, it's marginally better. But, like, Chick-fil-A is... It's not that different than Taco Bell on the grand scheme.
Pipe, you nailed it. I mean, you totally nailed it, man. That's exact. Yeah, if I said Chick-fil-A, everybody would like do that, like knowing, nod their head, like wink, nod. Like, of course we're going to Chick-fil-A, brother.
We're gonna go to Chick-fil-A. We're gonna see 12 homeschool kids from our church who work there, and you know,
of course we're going to Chick-fil-A, comma brother,
brother. Yes,
I mean, feel dude, like that's exactly what would happen. I mean, Pipe, that was so on point because, again, I know somebody's going to kill you for saying that Chick-fil-A is only marginally better than TB. Yeah. But, I mean, let's just be honest for a second, man. It really is only marginally better. And maybe if I'm in the mood for a little faux Mexican food, Chick-fil-A is not better at all.
I also say that thoroughly enjoying both of them. So I'm not sitting here crapping on either of them, you know.
Dude, I know.
Pun not intended.
I know. I mean, right. I mean, I'll be honest, man. I mean, I'm happy to meet. I'm happy to just protect my church's budget and meet any dude at a TB or Chick-fil-A.
I feel like you're willing to meet anyone anywhere, for the most part. You know what I mean?
I mean, we've kind of run the gamut. I'm not really snobby about. I don't really care that much about restaurants. So
I know, dude. Like, you in some ways. I know it's weird. Like, you come off in a way as kind of an elitist snob on here, but yet I've had all these like really salt of the earth like dining experiences with you that we've enjoyed. So
I'm an everyman.
You're an everyman. You're an everyman. There it is.
Yeah, I will say the three of us have never, you know, in the times that we have been in the same space, have never been to a cool restaurant.
No, we haven't.
The closest was some fish shack in Destin, and it was freezing cold on the water.
It was your standard Florida like fried fish place. You know,
everything tasted the same.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it was enjoyable. We had a little Whataburger experience on that
trip. Yeah, we did do a little Whata.
Yeah. Dude, I like Whata. Were you on Whata as compared to like In-N-Out? Because I know you're an In-N-Out guy being from the West Coast, but...
No, I'm not a huge In-N-Out guy. That's where I get a little controversial. I mean, hey, dude, if it's there, I'm going to eat it and love it.
If it's there, I'm going to eat it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be sad. Everything's great.
Yeah.
But dude, that Whata experience in Destin, mm-hmm. I don't think it was that great. It wasn't that great. Maybe we just had a bad run there. I don't know.
Dude, see, it felt great to me because, like, contextually, it came at the end of a day where... I'll say this in air quotes. We worked hard.
we did write a lot of words.
Yeah, we did. We wrote a lot of words, and it felt like, oh, we're going to treat ourselves. We're going to get some burgers and shakes. It just felt very, like, in the moment, and I enjoyed that about it. But, yeah, it's weird. We didn't even try to, like, find hipster food on that trip.
Dude, we were there to work.
I'm not sure Destin is the bastion of hipster food, given that it's, like, every Nashville suburbanite family's vacation destination. Like, the number of like sunburned angry families in Destin at any given time is just astounding.
Dude, wait that a minute, place though. That shack we found we found on the edge of the sand was the hipster place, man. Seriously.
Actually, the hipster place was Ronald, you weren't a part of this cuz you flew out early.
Yep.
Pipe and I visited a coffee shop the morning that we left and it was unspeakably hipster. Oh, okay. It was like a Nashville hipster coffee shop.
It was an Italian coffee shop, and the owner was like, he was an Italian immigrant who came over like I don't know in the 60s or something. And
he was actually the money. He kind of transcended hipsterness,
he is who every hipster aspires to be in terms of just sheer cool. Also, amazing breakfast sandwiches. I will remember that.
No, totally. Yeah, that was a nice time for sure. Mm.
Well, boys, I missed it, man. What can I say, you know?
We'll have to go back to Destin.
I feel like we need to do the classic ministry thing next time we're together and, like, really, like, go pour our hearts out over some kind of hipster meal. You know what I mean?
Well, I totally agree. I mean, we'll do that in Louisville for...
We'll Instagram it. We'll take some
pictures.
For the
last laugh, man.
We'll do the last laugh.
Yeah. We'll spend all of our profit on a half a burger, and you know that'll be nice.
It's worth it.
Some meat served in something called medallions. You know,
exactly.
It's like the most disappointing serving of meat.
Yeah, right. Subtext: tiny serving of meat.
That's right. We took one steak and cut it into six servings.
Yeah.
But listen, we're burying the lead here, boys. Sonesta Select, if you're listening, let's do business. I don't want you boys paying for hotel rooms anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man.
I haven't
paid for a hotel in a long time, but yeah, I don't want to be paying for them when I do.
Who pays for your hotel, baby? The church picked that up? All that travel?
I don't know. All the network stuff, yeah.
Dude, you got some kind of like Middle Eastern oil baron writing all those checks.
100%.
That's a lot of money.
100%. Well, a lot of oil.
Do you get to collect the hotel points?
Oh, I don't. I've like never done that. So
really, see that to me is traveling is not great. You know, not my favorite thing. I like being places. I don't like getting there, and I don't like staying in hotels very much because I don't know. I just don't sleep very well in hotels. But collecting hotel points so then I can use them when I travel with my family.
Yeah,
huge win.
That's why Piper.
I need to get on that.
Pipe, that's why you're like the dad of this podcast, because Ronald and I don't do points because we're middle-aged, gray-haired children.
Oh, and, and I'm like the obnoxious dad who's like, the trip that I just came back from, you know, it was very nicely booked by somebody else into a hotel that was like a brand new Hampton Inn. So it was very comfortable. And, you know, they didn't have my – so I'm the one who, like, makes a special trip down to the desk to be like, I'm sorry, do you have my Hilton Rewards number on my reservation? Because I want these points as 1/30th of a future hotel room.
Dude, and you get that nice little baggie when you check in, too, with the points.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You get the bottle of water and the granola bar.
Not to offend Dave Ramsey, but I also have the Hilton credit card that I use for certain expenses to rack up a few points and to maintain my diamond.
Easy status. Pipe.
We don't have to walk on eggshells around Dave anymore.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, he holds no threat to me whatsoever.
Amazing.
That's freeing. Well, also amazing, boys, was this this 40 some odd minutes of radio that we just did. 39 minutes. Sorry, but
40 if we just go for another, you know, 15 seconds.
It was meandering, but pleasant is how I would describe it. So I'm sort of like the schlumpy pastor that you've just had lunch with, and now I'm deconstructing the lunch. Except I'm doing it on our own podcast.
So to ramble a little bit further, I was sure. Standing in line flying out to my most recent trip, and there was a couple who were probably in their late 50s, early 60s, in line behind me to board the plane. And the wife is systematically analyzing every step of their trip to Nashville.
Dang.
You know, the mental state of the friends they stayed with. You know, she didn't seem well. He seemed in a good place. She didn't seem well.
In a good place.
It wasn't great to be down on Broadway. That's not really our scene. I mean, it was fun to see. Mm. And it was just like, I could have stolen their identity after this conversation. I was like, I know their friend's mental state. I know their friend's psychiatrist's name. That strikes me as what you're doing to this podcast right now.
That is totally what I'm doing. I'm that lady of this podcast. And I think I just do that in general. So that's on brand. I would enjoy chatting with
her. I may be the dad, but you're the 60-year-old lady traveling.
Dude, that is so true. You know, I really am the 64-year-old lady traveling. Truer words have never been spoken. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program. In that we've made a business deal with Sonesta Select Hotels, and we've talked about some travel and food experiences. I hope it's been enriching for our listeners. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.